Matthew chapter 22:15-22, the Caesar or God trap. Probably the greatest answer to a political question in the history of the world, Jesus gives tonight. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. And so am I every time I read that. So they left him and went away. Lord, help us to stand in amazement at you tonight. But let our amazement not send us away. Let our amazement draw us close. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's good. Their amazement pushed them away. May we be amazed at God and it just draws us closer to him. May we never lose the amazement, but may it always draw us close to him. That was free. Now on to our regularly scheduled sermon. Number one, it's a trap. It's a trap. Caught in a trap, can't turn back, because, no Elvis fans here, but my wife in the back, because I love you too much, baby, never mind. You ever set traps for people? All the time, my daughter does. That's a middle school thing, I think, so. Sometimes we set traps with our words. Next time we see them. All right, it's Thanksgiving's coming up, and this will be the next time I see them. And they said this last time, but I've studied up this time. And when they say that this time, I'm going to say this. And then I got them. You don't ever do that. Well, the Pharisees and the Herodians were setting a trap for Jesus. A political trap. Two political groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, just about the only thing the Pharisees and the Herodians agreed upon, and they did not have much in common. The Pharisees were loyalists to Israel. The Herodians were in deep with the Roman political structure. But just about the only thing they have in common is they didn't like Jesus. So they hold their noses at their political differences. They put them aside just for a few moments, and they want to trap Jesus, hoping to catch him between a rock and a hard place, the proverbial saying goes. Is it lawful to pay this imperial tax to the emperor, to Caesar, or not? A political question they ask him. Because everybody was talking about this was on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. Should we pay this political debt? On the right, we have this side, and on the left, we have this side. Hoping he will answer this question improperly. Either he will lose his favor with the public or get in trouble with the Roman authorities. If he answers that the tax is lawful, he will give offense to the Pharisees, who are make Israel great again, great for God, and we're taking Israel back for God. And many in the crowds who hate the emperor's constant meddling, they're going to hate Jesus saying that we should pay this tax. Not to mention the poor who are especially burdened by this particular Roman tax. But if he speaks out against the taxes as it's not lawful, it won't take long for the Herodians who are on the other side, loyalists to Rome, to get the news back of this seditious talk back to the powers that be and get Jesus in trouble that way. It is a well-laid political trap. And Jesus has a reputation of being fearless, of being a truth teller. He doesn't go into this political maneuvering. So they think he'll just answer the question straight out, and when he does, we got him. We still argue about these things today, especially taxes. Taxes, we're going to reform the taxes, and we're on the right and on the left, and let's set the traps. So how do we deal with this text in our contemporary world? Duties to God and country and our politically minded, very much, I haven't seen it in my 42 years this way, be this politically minded world that we live in, this Western world that we live in, maybe even the whole world now. The text still challenges us and calls to us. Number two, what's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? Not much, all right. Jesus is smart. You have to be smart if something you said 2,000 years ago still keeps getting repeated over. Nothing I said 2,000 years now from now will be repeated. But Jesus, the things he said, they get repeated over and over again. So he reframes the issue, the question, very subtly by asking to see the coin used to pay the taxes. And he did this on purpose. This is kind of some political theater, if you will, here. This is a clever move by Jesus, because it allows everybody at the temple there, all the onlookers, including the reader later on, to see for themselves what Jesus already knows. And what does he know? Jesus is the one being put on the spot. He is the one being put to the test. But is his questioners, those who are trying to trap him, who are more deeply entangled with the exploits of empire, that are more deeply entangled and complicit in the exploitive economics of the empire, they're the ones that are wrapped up in all of this. Should we do this? Should we not do this? Is it lawful to do this? Is it lawful, not lawful to do that? Because Jesus' pockets are empty. He has to ask for a coin. Give me a coin. I don't have one. I don't have one of these coins that you're making this political debate about. But his opponents, the ones who are asking the questions, have no trouble supplying this denarius on demand. Oh, we got plenty of those. There's another place in the gospel that says, the Pharisees who loved money. Oh, we got plenty of denariuses right here. Anybody got change for a 50 or... They were ready to pull this out because they were deeply embedded in the political system, both sides. Number three, two different authorities that one must respond to. Two different authorities that one must respond to. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God, the civil authorities in God's authority. It seems like these two are always contentious against each other. As well they should be, because they're not the same. Now Martin Luther, he talks about two kinds of righteousness. He talks about civil righteousness and spiritual righteousness. He wrote about these two. For Luther, civil righteousness, society righteousness, how to live right in society, although he got in trouble in society over and over again, so I don't know if he's the best example of how to live in society, but he wrote about it. Civil righteousness was something we worked on and something we were accountable for. He said we need to be as good citizens in the society that we live in as we can. Civil righteousness is achieved by how we act in society, how we act, our actions, our works. Spiritual righteousness, he says, regards our relationship with God. For Luther, he says, spiritual righteousness is determined not by our actions, not by our works, but by receiving God's love in Christ. It cannot be earned, spiritual righteousness. It must be received and then from there lived out. In some ways, Jesus is using a similar categories to respond to the question posed to him, Caesar or God? And they were using it as a trap. But they were asking him, what about civil righteousness? What about spiritual righteousness? But by calling attention to the different obligations we have, Jesus is reminding us of the differences that exist for us as citizens of the state and citizens of heaven. We're citizens of the state now. We're not citizens of heaven in the sweet by and by. We're also citizens of heaven now. And which one is going to, I almost said Trump the other, but I didn't want to do that. So I'm slipped out. Jesus carefully suggests that we owe the state exactly what it demands of us. The coin with Caesar's image on it. By contrast, we have to give to God what is God's. And God does not have a coin with his picture on it. And many good people, Christian people, righteous people, try to put God's picture on a coin or whatever they deem being a good citizen of the nation, not just our nation, but any nation that they live in. They take some civil righteousness and they mix it with God righteousness and they try to stamp God's picture on whatever they deem is their definition of being a good citizen in their society. But number four, we cannot rely on our spiritual righteousness, what we receive from God and then live out. We cannot rely on our spiritual righteousness to answer for righteousness in the civil realm. We cannot rely on our spiritual righteousness to answer for righteousness in the civil realm. We are supposed to obey the speed limit, for an example. We can't say, I am a Christian. I am right before God and I am saved by grace, and therefore my God makes all the rules and therefore I can drive whatever speed I want to drive. Because my God owns this land and owns everything and he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and I'll do what I want to do. We can't do that. I know a sweet lady, I won't mention her name. She was driving home one night and she got pulled over by the police. And the police officer came up to the car and said, she said, officer, was I going too fast? And he said, on the contrary, you were going too slow. The officer pulled her over for going too slow. And she said, oh, well, this isn't my car. This is my husband's car, and I'm usually not out this late, and you're just going to have to forgive me. And she's such a sweet lady and a sweet woman, that cop said, okay. And he forgave her. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, But if you have the sweet spirit that she had, maybe your spiritual righteousness will rub over into the civil righteousness, but it usually does not work that way. We cannot break the civil law and say, well, I'm spiritual, and that's all right. Have you ever seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You got three escaped convicts on the run. They run into a church congregation down at the river getting baptized. Well, Pete runs down to the river when he sees everybody, and he gets baptized. And he comes out and says, I'm saved and forgiven, and nothing, man or God's got nothing against me now. I'm even free, innocent of those crimes, knocking over that Piggly Wiggly down in Georgia. He said, I thought you was innocent of that. He said, well, I was lying, and I just got forgiven of that too. It doesn't work that way. We can't use spiritual righteousness to get away with breaking the civil law. Our righteousness in the civil realm is earned. How? By following the law. By following our nation's law. Spiritual righteousness, on the other hand, can never be earned. It is not earned. It is given by God and then lived out by grace. Many people believe that it is their civic duty to voice their disagreement with the government. This civil disobedience may indeed be the proper thing to do, the civil righteous response, as long as it's done with the right tone, with the right spirit, in a peaceful way. Civil righteousness is needed, but it can only go so far. Civil disobedience may be needed, but it can only go so far in changing things. You have to give to Caesar what is his. But don't confuse what we give to Caesar and what we give to God. I think we've gotten them mixed together in our society. And I haven't seen it this way in my 42 years. We've got the coin in this hand and the things of God over here, and we've mixed them together. Civil righteousness is good, but it is not God. And it will never be God. Number five, do we confuse the righteousness we try to attain in society with our spiritual righteousness? Do we confuse the righteousness we try to attain in society with our spiritual righteousness? There are many churches and individual Christians who have taken an active role in calling and working for justice in our world, some from a conservative position, some from a liberal position. And this may be the proper civil response. Again, if we do this with the right motives and the right spirit, peaceably. But when we make these stands, does that make us more spiritually righteous? Especially, does that make us more spiritually righteous than others? Jesus is not calling for us to worship these causes. We will be involved in these causes, but we got to be careful that they don't mix together and seep together where you can't tell the one from the other. Instead, I believe Jesus is calling us to make sure we can see the difference. The Pharisees and the Herodians could not. That's why they thought they could use it as a trap, because they saw no difference. And when they heard his answer, it amazed them, because they saw no difference. And they could not even imagine such an answer. You and I can imagine this answer now. 2,000 years ago, before Jesus said it, render under Caesar. But we need to be reminded about it over and over again, because it's easy to get Caesar and his coin and God and mix them together. It's easy to do, and we've done this. We must be careful. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Jesus says, whose image is on this coin? Caesar's, they said. And he said that on purpose. He meant to say that. He was thinking about the creation story where man was made, woman was made in the image and likeness of God. He was saying to them, make sure that Caesar's image that is on this coin, make sure his image does not get on you, because you already have an image on you, because you were made in the image and likeness of God. And he flips the coin back to them, saying, whose image is on you? And he flips the coin back to us Western Christians tonight, and he says, whose image is on you? Number 6. How do we, as Christians, learn to interact with the governing authorities, the civil authorities, and yet maintain our identity as Christ followers? How do we as Christians learn to interact with the governing authorities and yet maintain our identity as Christ followers? For some, this is easier than it is for others. Their attitude and their spirit, their view of society and their view of government, and their conscience is not in a battle with each other. It almost seems like it can line up pretty closely, because they've humbled themselves in this way. Others of us may find it more and more difficult as government and society and the way our nation is functioning, the way the world is functioning, and it continues to be at odds with our conscience. I think I fall more into that second category. Seems to fall more and more against my conscience. It might be difficult to realize, but we have good people, Christians, with good conscience on both sides of most political issues. And I was going to mention a few political topics, but I'm running out of time, so I think I'll move on. My suggestion for myself is, and my suggestion for you is, be open to listening to others, men and women of goodwill, who are on the opposite side of the aisle from you. And ask yourself, can we trust that God is at work even in those who believe differently about these civil, righteous topics than we do? And mainly personally, whatever we render unto Caesar, or to our retirement fund, or to our 401k, or to just paying the monthly bills, basically making ends meet, or whatever we render to society, or whatever we render into the offering basket, we can never afford to forget this. We belong entirely to God, whose image is on us. We always divide our budget, but we must never divide our allegiance. The coin of our realm bears the images of dead presidents. But each of us, as Christ followers, bears the image of another. And our emperor said, our King of Kings says, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. And we must never forget to render unto God the things that are God's. And let it be so. And let me remember it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we live in a very divided country. Lord, we're setting traps for the other side all the time. And we always see the other side as setting a trap for us. And we're wanting to get mad and get back at them and fight back at the traps. May we listen humbly. But at the same time, may we never mix our version of Caesar up with the image of God that is on our lives. Forgive us when we have. May they remain separate, different. Help us to know how to live as good citizens in our nation, civil. But help us to have our spiritual righteousness received from you by the grace of God, by the love of God in Christ. Then may we live it out to those we agree with and those we disagree with. Lord, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.